Hey there, so I wanted to talk about something today that's, well, it's on everyone's mind, right? Well-being. It's this huge kind of intimidating word that gets thrown around all the time. You see it on magazines, on Instagram, everywhere. And it usually comes with a picture of someone doing a perfect yoga pose on a mountaintop at sunrise, or like drinking a green smoothie that probably costs $20. And look, that's great. If that's your thing, amazing. But for most of us, me included, life isn't quite like that. Most days, well-being feels less like a mountaintop and more like just trying to find your keys in the morning without having a complete meltdown, or getting through a day of back-to-back meetings without wanting to crawl under your desk. It's about managing that low-level hum of stress that just seems to be on the soundtrack of modern life. Does that sound familiar? I thought so. So I wanted to chat about some small things. Teeny tiny manageable things that can actually make a difference. These aren't about overhauling your entire life. They're not about buying expensive equipment or subscribing to a fancy service. They're just little tips and tricks, some from modern science and some that are, well, a bit older. I'm going to share a few things that come from my own background from Indian culture, things that my grandma would tell me, you know. Ancient wisdom that's been passed down for generations, and honestly, it still works, because at the end of the day, we're all just human beings trying to feel a little bit better, a little more balanced, and that's a goal that's been around for forever, really. So let's just dive in and see if any of this resonates with you. No pressure, just some ideas. Let's start with the morning, because how you start your day, it really does set the tone for everything that follows. I know everyone says that, but it's true. I'm not talking about waking up at 4 a.m. to run a marathon before the sun comes up. No way. I'm talking about the first 5 minutes. That's it. Just 5 minutes before you grab your phone. That's the real challenge, isn't it? Resisting the urge to immediately check your email or scroll through social media. So here's trick number one, and it's a classic for a reason. Gratitude. Because before your feet even hit the floor, while you're still lying there in that cozy sleepy haze, just think of three things that you're grateful for. And they don't have to be profound, seriously. Some days for me, it's like, one, my pillow is really soft. Two, I can hear a bird outside. Three, I'm grateful for the smell of coffee that I'm about to make. It sounds so simple, almost silly, but what it does is it frames your brain. It shifts your focus from a place of lack. Ugh, I have to get up. I have so much to do. I'm already behind. And to a place of abundance. It starts your day with a quiet little thank you instead of a loud oh no. And while you're lying there, you can try this thing next. This is something that's deeply rooted in Indian yogic traditions. It's a form of pranayama, which is just a fancy word for breath work. Don't be intimidated by the Sanskrit. At its core, it's just breathing with intention. So try this. Just a simple box breath. Your breath in for a count of four. You hold it for a count of four. Your breath for a count of four. And you hold it for a count of four. In two, three, four. Hold two, three, four. Out. Two, three, four. Hold two, three, four. Do that just a few times. It's literally just tells your nervous system, hey, we're safe, we're okay, there's no emergency right now. It pulls you out of that fight or flight mode that we often wake up in, already stressed about the day ahead. It's like a reset button for your entire body, and it costs nothing. So you've done your gratitude, you've done your breathing, you're out of bed. The next step before the coffee, trust me, I love my coffee, is water. But here's a little twist. My Aji, my grandma, always insisted on warm water, maybe with a squeeze of lemon or a tiny pinch of grated ginger in Ayurveda, the traditional Indian system of medicine. They talk a lot about Agni, which is your digestive fire. The idea is that your digestion is like a little campfire inside you. In the morning, it just embers. You don't have to douse it with ice-cold water. You have to gently coax it awake. Warm water is like a gentle nudge. It helps to, you know, get the system moving. It hydrates you, and it just feels comforting. It's a much kinder way to wake up your insides. So now that we're talking about digestion and the inner fire, let's move on to food. This is a big one. Our relationship with food is so complicated, isn't it? We're told what to eat, what not to eat, when to eat. It's exhausting. But a lot of ancient wisdom, especially from India, focuses less on what you're eating, more on how you're eating and how you're digesting it. One of the biggest game changers for me was learning about the power of spices. In Indian cooking, spices aren't just for flavor, they are for medicine. They're a core part of well-being. And I'm talking about the stuff you probably already have in your kitchen cabinet. Take turmeric, for example, haldi. That bright yellow powder is known for being a powerful anti-inflammatory. For centuries, Indian mothers have been using it for everything from cuts and scrapes to colds and sore throats. You don't need to do anything complicated with it. Just adding half a teaspoon to your scrambled eggs or into your soup, or when you're sauteing vegetables. It's a simple way to give your body a little boost. And then there's ginger, adrak. Oh, ginger is a hero. It's amazing for digestion. If you feel bloated or just heavy with a meal, a little bit of ginger tea can work wonders. Just slice up a small piece, pour some hot water over it, let it steep. It's warming, it's soothing, and it helps the digestive fire we're talking about. And cumin, jeera. Those little seeds are fantastic. Roasting them slightly and adding them to yogurt or lentils not only tastes delicious, but also aids digestion. It's about seeing these spices not just as ingredients, but as allies for your body. And this brings me to my absolute favorite home remedy, something that is the epitome of Indian comfort and care. Haldi Doodh, or as the West has now trendily rebranded it, a turmeric latte. Whenever I was feeling under the weather as a kid, my mom would make me a warm cup of milk with a spoonful of turmeric and a pinch of black pepper. The pepper is important. It helps your body absorb the good stuff from the turmeric, and maybe a little honey or jaggery to sweeten it. It felt like a warm hug in a mug. It's soothing. It's anti-inflammatory. It's great for before bed. It's just wonderful. And it's so easy to make. You gently heat up your milk, and any kind of milk works, and whisk it in the spices. That's it. It's a 1,000-year-old tradition for a reason. Okay, let's shift gears from what we put in our body to how we move our body. Again, this doesn't have to be about the intense workouts. I mean, if you love that, that's awesome. But for many of us, the thought of going to the gym can feel like another chore on an already endless to-do list. Movement should be about joy, not a punishment. So what can we do? Well, there's walking. Simple, free, and so incredibly powerful. Just a 15 or 20 minute walk, especially after a meal, can do wonders for your digestion and your mood. But another thing I want to talk about is a form of self-care that is so, so good. It's another Ayurvedic practice called Abhyanga. It sounds fancy, but it's just a self-care massage with warm oil. You can use this sesame oil in the winter because it's warming, or coconut oil in the summer because it's cooling. You can just warm it up a little bit. You put a bottle in a mug of hot water for a few minutes, and then you just massage it into your skin. Before a shower is a great time to do it. You start with your limbs, long stroke on the long bones, circular motions on the joints, your feet, your hands, your arms and legs. It's not about deep tissue massage or anything technical. It's about the act of touch. It's about showing your body some love and attention. It calms the nervous system. It makes your skin incredibly soft, and it's a profound way to connect with yourself. In our busy lives, we spend so much time in our heads. The practice brings you back into the body. It's grounding. It makes you feel cared for by yourself, which is maybe the most important kind of care there is. And on the topic of a massage, let's not forget the head. A good old Indian head massage, or champi. This is the best. You don't even need to go to a professional. Just taking a few minutes to massage your own scalp can release so much tension. You can use a little oil if you like, but you don't have to. Just use your fingertips and apply firm circular pressure all over your scalp. Pay attention to your temples, the base of your skull. We hold so much stress in our head, our jaw, our neck. A few minutes of this before bed can be incredibly relaxing, and you can help your sleep better. It's another one of those things my grandma swore by for everything from headaches to just feeling frazzled. And that brings us to nicely at the end of the day, the wind down. This is just as important as the morning routine, if not so. How we end our day determines how well we rest and recharge for the next one. The biggest challenge here, of course, is the screen. The endless scroll. We all know it's not good for us, especially before bed. The blue light messes with our sleep hormones. The content, whether it's bad news or someone else's perfect life, can stir up anxiety. So the tip here is simple, but not easy. Create a cutoff time, maybe an hour before you plan to sleep. The phone goes away, but it's put it on the charger across the room, out of sight, out of mind, well, mostly. And in that hour, you do something analog. You read a book, a real paper book. You listen to some calm music. You stretch a little bit. You have a cup of that healthy dude or some herbal tea. Or this is the great one, you do a brain dump. You take a notebook and a pen and you write down everything that's swirling around in your head. Your to-do list for tomorrow and the thing you're worried about, that awkward conversation you had. Get it all out of your head and onto the paper. The act of writing it down is like telling your brain, okay, I've got this. It's captured. You can let it go now. You don't have to keep reminding me all night. It's a way to process the day and clear your mental slate so you can actually rest. So there you have it, a whole bunch of ideas, from a simple breath in the morning to a warm cup of milk at night, from adding a pinch of spice to your food to taking 5 minutes to massage your own feet. None of these things are revolutionary. None of them require a lot of time or money. But that's the point. Well-being isn't found in one grand expensive gesture. It's built. It's cultivated. It's the sum of 100 tiny loving choices you make for yourself every single day. It's about listening to your body. It's about honoring the wisdom that's been around for centuries, whether it's from your own culture or another. It's about realizing that you have the power to make yourself feel just a little bit better right here, right now. So don't feel like you have to do all these things. That would just be another source of stress, right? Just pick one. Maybe this week you're try starting your day with warm lemon water and see how that feels. Maybe next week you try a little scalp massage before bed. Be curious, be kind to yourself. The journey to well-being isn't a race to finish on a mountaintop. It's a slow, gentle walk home to yourself.